You know, we're all flawed. We're all of us really are walking on the road in the same direction. Some of us are a little bit more wobbly than others. Some have some very unique, peculiar ideas. Some need a bit of a nudge once in a while. But we are all in this together. And I just appreciate this church and everyone. And I believe that the Lord was just showing me that as a group, as a family of believers, that we should honor and respect one another. That no matter if we agree or don't agree, no matter if, you know, we've got different ideas and we think ours are better, but that we need to just honor and respect each other and walk with each other. You know, this is so important. You know, you've heard me, this is where I'm getting sentimental. You've heard me say that in my younger days as a Christian, and I still read some of the great saints of old. You know, I love to read of the, you know, Andrew Murray and, you know, like Robert McShane and all these. You might not have heard these names, but they are the stalwarts of the faith. Have written many things, have gone through many things. And I've always been intrigued to read the last words or the last bit of their journal or, you know, when you read their biography and they say on their deathbed, this is what they said. And almost all of them, it wasn't about themselves, but it was more of like, I am so humbled at this moment that God would even choose me. Now, after 40 years maybe following the Lord, going through almost martyrdom, almost like some of these stories that you read, you know, it's nothing like testimonies today, can I tell you that? If you really want to be challenged and deepened, go to some of these fellows where, you know, it was really, really very deep in their walk. And I see, wow, this is the message they wanted to give. You know, keep on going. Go deeper. Keep humbling yourself. And as I think about my life and, you know, this section of my life that I'm in right now and whatever time the Lord has for me and whatever words or care or prayers that I can give for you, then those are the messages that I want to give. Those are the messages. You know, walk as Jesus wants to walk, us to walk. Love each other from the bottom of our heart. All of these things. This is what Jesus wants. This is his heartbeat. And so you'll probably hear me saying this a lot. You probably have already heard me say this a lot. But it's the message I feel so strongly in my heart. For the day when we see Jesus and together. Now, last week, this is the second part of last week. We talked about walking in the same direction, that we as a community, as believers, we walk in the same direction, toward the horizon, toward where Jesus wants us to be. We are learning, we're growing, we're being formed, we're being transformed. And we saw that it's in everyday moments of our lives. Okay? If you look at the life of people, the lives of saints in the scripture, and even ones you know, there might have been a miracle. There might have been a moment where there was a whoo flash from God or a miracle. But you know, those things don't last in the sense of it's the everyday. It's the everyday walking in faith. Now, I wasn't able to be here on Friday night, but Wing was telling me that the movie about a miracle of faith was, yes, there was a miracle, but the bigger story was the fact that the faith that people walked in, when you don't see the end, when you don't see, you don't understand, you don't even know if it's going to happen. We don't walk around thinking, yeah, a miracle's going to happen. But it's the faith every day of trusting in Jesus, not knowing what the next day will bring. So it's in these everyday moments. And we talked about that it's in the everyday of being sent into the world. I'm not talking about missionaries here. I'm talking about that Jesus said, follow me and I will send you. It means to your neighbors, to your community, to your family, all that sort of thing. So as you are going in the world to wherever you go, whether you are starring in Les Mis, hello, or you are going to work at some very boring job or whatever it is, that you're being sent. And that's the main thing. If we can get our head around that, it would transform us. I want to tell you that. If every one of you could really see that on Monday morning and every day, that when you go to work, it's not just the ho-hum thing. It is you're being sent there. And so we open our eyes. And good song today, Open Our Eyes, because that's what we're going to talk about. And then we talked about worshiping Him with our brothers and sisters. And in that moment of worship, like today, God just sort of touched me, you know, like and opened my eyes to see, wow, look at us, you know, His family. So those moments when we open ourselves to God and we're there together to receive whatever He wants to say to us. And in community, as we live out what the Scriptures say and allow God to develop us as a community of brothers and sisters, not just social butterflies, but deeper fellowship together. This is where we can live out what we say we believe. Now, we're going to keep going today. What we just described from last week was the clay. This is the stuff of what God uses. Okay? How does He do it? What are some of the ways in which He does this? Well, I hope we can see a little bit of that today. I want to read Luke 24, 13 to 35. It's one of my favorite passages. It's after He has risen, after Jesus has risen. And that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing Him. And He said to them, what is this conversation you're holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered Him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? And He said to them, what things? And they said to Him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered Him up to be condemned to death and crucified Him. But we had hoped that He was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find His body, they came back saying that they'd even seen a vision of angels who said He was alive. Some of those who were there, who were with us, went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but Him they did not see. And He said to them, Jesus, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. So they drew near to the village into which they were going. He acted as if He was going to go on. But they urged Him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent. So He went in to stay with them. When He was at table with them, He took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized Him, and He vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the Scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how He was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Let's pray. Father, it's You who open our eyes It's you, Lord, who reveal yourself to us. Lord, as we desire to draw near to you today, I pray that you would draw near to us. And Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would open our eyes to see Jesus and to see all the story that he is writing and forming in our lives, and that we might give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. This story begins in frustration, traveling on the road to Emmaus. This was actually a town that had a hot springs, a spa, you know, kind of cool thing where you'd go for a holiday, you know, and whose name means earnest longing. It's interesting, isn't it? Earnest longing. The story also begins in the chaos of darkness, bitter grief, but it ends with the creative light of God, of Jesus, his resurrection and his real presence in our lives. Just like the creation story. The creation story begins in darkness and chaos, but it ends in light and goodness. And so we're looking at how Jesus, how God, does transformation in our lives. We've all been in this situation. We've all been in frustration, in doubt, in sorrow, in things that we hoped for being dashed under our feet, in things that we tried to put together, we tried to understand, but we can't. And we've all been there. And here we see that Jesus meets us when we are on our own journeys of faith. And we're also reminded through this story that God, through Christ, meets us in the simplest acts of everyday life, such as in nature or through other people, in the Spirit-inspired Word of God, and even in the sharing of a meal and breaking of bread. See, when we want to focus on God's going to do a miracle in my life, some big thing, we miss the little things of God in our lives. It's a relationship. Now, some of you who are married, you will know that it is in the small little things of life together that you probably are most blessed. Those little moments when your wife or your husband understands something in your life and maybe makes a small comment. And sometimes those things can mean much more than a dinner at the Hyatt with roses on the table. It's those little moments of revelation, of touching, of something happening between the two of you. This is what Jesus wants us to know. It's those little moments that he says, I'm with you. I'm walking with you. I'm right here all the time. These are the places that God meets us individually and also collectively as a church. We are reminded that God in Christ is not always overt and boisterous in how he reveals himself to us. Instead, God, through the Holy Spirit, is often quiet and subtle and wants us to be listening. Like the story of Elijah when he went up on the mountain to hear God. And it wasn't in the thunder or the lightning or the rainstorm or anything. It was in that still, small voice. It was in that little whisper. Because God wants us to know that little whisper in our hearts. One scholar has said that Jesus is the Lord of the commonplace. Why did these two people walking along, now they were the apostles or the disciples of John and Luke, John and Matthew and all that, it was Cleopas and a friend. Why did those two people, they'd followed the Lord and they had seen him, why didn't they recognize him as they walked along? There's no real answer to that. as we see in Scripture. But we can kind of surmise, you know. First of all, they didn't expect him. They didn't expect for Jesus to be there. Perhaps he had, you know, they wore cloaks over their heads and stuff, and they were walking along, and it was maybe getting toward dusk and that sort of thing. And they were all involved in their own sorrow, their own grief. I want to say, when we are involved, so looking inward at our own frustrations, our own dashed hopes, our own victimhood, we do not recognize Jesus. You know, what's the interesting thing? And psychology can kind of bear this out a bit, and I think Jesus says it too. Is that when we are hurt, when we think somebody has hurt us or has stepped on our toe or something like that, we become very self-centered because it's all about us. Oh, woe is me. Oh, you know, and we blame everybody else. We don't, you know, oh, you know, and if anyone comes along to try to share with us that, hey, lift your head up and let's look around and all that, you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that. You want to get as many people as possible in your pit as possible. Come on, ooh. And we complain and we cry and we have heaps of proof, heaps of evidence that justifies us being in the pit. And we think we've been wronged, but I want to tell you, you've become more self-centered than anything. And selfish. You want people to notice you. You want people to wallow in this with you. And if anyone wants to try to pick up your feet and say, you know, come on, like, you know, stuff like, well, Jesus, you know, went through rejection and stuff. Well, you don't want to hear that. You know, that was Jesus. You know, I'm just me. But we go through different scriptures about Paul, blah, 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 blah. Well, do you know what I think? Is I think in that sense we need to repent. We need to repent of being poor me. Is this world all about me? Does it revolve around me? Well, at these times it does. And so, following God, we're not listening. God wants to tell us. So, they didn't recognize him because they were looking into themselves, poor us. Sometimes we don't believe that God gets involved in the mundane of our lives. He's only concerned with big things. But he is. He is concerned of how we even think toward each other. He's concerned if we have a negative view toward another brother and sister or sister, if we have a negative view toward another people group. You know, what disturbs me, and growing up and being involved in the 60s, the civil rights movement in the United States, where, you know, pardon the expression, all hell was breaking loose. You know, there were Kent State University is one where they had armed guards, National Guard, going to the universities and things like that, which, you know, look at what's happening today. But the fact that you hear leaders, you hear people all over the world, even Christian leaders, I'm sorry to say, wiping out a whole people group with negative words. That's not what God wants us to be like. And we can so easily get into that. But Jesus became one of us, a commoner. He became somebody who could feel the hostility, could feel the everything, the pain, the victimhood, everything of growing up and being in this world. He would live through it. He would understand it. He would suffer with it so that he could walk along with us. And we need to recognize that that is what Jesus does. So here's the scene. What was happening in the lives of these two people as they walked along the road? Now, think of your own life. First of all, there was perplexity. They had planned things. They had hope in what Jesus was going to do. Does everything in our lives go as planned? I don't think so. Does it always go the way we want? No. All the signs were pointing in this time with Jesus. All the signs were pointing to something wonderful happening. The Romans being taken care of. A new king coming. The world would be better. Their lives would be better. How about us? We look and say, oh, my life will be better if only I. How often do you say that? You know, I'd like to raise your hand, but I won't ask you. Because I think we would all say that at one time or another, we have said that. My life would be better if I had a different house to live in, if I had a better car, if I had more money, if I had a husband or a wife, if I had a child, if I had three kids, if I had more money in the bank, you know, like a better salary, if I didn't have the people around me, if I wasn't born in this family, if I wasn't, you know, like all sorts of things. Things we don't understand. When it seems to go, as some people might say, belly up, you know. We've all been there. And it was a stumbling block. This whole thing was a stumbling block to these two. It caused them to doubt. It caused them sorrow, grief. It caused them, I want to walk away, I want to hide myself. You know, I kind of always know when people are going through things because they distance themselves from fellowship and from church and from other sorts of things. They want to hide, you know, thinking maybe they can hide from God, but they can't ever. Then there's sadness and doubt. These people were going through sadness and doubt. Have you had sadness and doubt? I think we all have. And their hopes were dashed. Have your hopes been dashed? Because we expected God to bless our plan and it didn't happen. I want to say that we should not have expectations in our lives, we should have acceptance of what God wants to do in our lives. That doesn't mean that we don't have hope, that we don't have those sorts of things. But I want to say, when we have expectations that become so ingrained, then when we're disappointed, it can really rock us and throw us off track. The only time we should have expectations is when it's in line with the Word of God and when we take a hold of His promises. We have taken our eyes off of His plan, or we haven't even wanted to know what it was or what it is. Perhaps God is telling us to trust Him by faith, that we're not ready yet to see His plan, but just to walk with each step in front of the other and trust Him in the journey. This is a road, and that's why this is the title. It's a physical road and a spiritual road. We are on the road. And we do not know what all is in front of us. But we are to walk by faith. Now, the other thing is their eyes were kept from recognizing Jesus as He drew near. Now, why? What do you think this means? Did God do that? Or was it themselves? Did they, you know, blind themselves or whatever? I think in one way it's because they did not expect Him to be there. They weren't even looking for Him. They weren't even, you know, asking God what was happening. How many times on our walks through our life, our journey, that we don't see Jesus? Do you recognize Him even now in your life? If I were to ask you, when's the last time that you recognize Jesus working in your life? Would any of you say this morning? Would any of you say yesterday? Would any of you say this week? Would any of you say this month? Would any of you say this year? I think we need to be at the point where we can say today. Today. Because Jesus is with me. And if my eyes are open, if if I'm asking him, show me, show me, show me yourself. He delights in that. Do you believe that he will show himself to you? Do you believe that he will whisper in your ear? Do you believe that when you wake up in the morning you will have some joy or some vision or some excitement or something that God shares with you? See, it's not fault. It's not God. Sometimes we do not expect him. We do not even ask him. We do not even open our eyes, Lord, so that we might see Jesus. That's what we sang. So if you sang it, have you prayed it? Has it been from the bottom of your heart? Lord, I want to see you. I want to see you in the midst of my life, in every day, no matter what I'm doing. This is what he wants us to do. How many times do we talk with a coworker, or a parent, or a child, or a friend, or even someone we've never met before, and we fail to recognize that this person holds a precious piece of our Lord and Savior in them? Do you go into every conversation with something in your heart saying, there's something I want to receive here. There's some little something I can. There's this conversation. There's this something that I'm looking for God. I'm looking for God. I'm looking for God in each of you. Are you looking for God in each other? If God can move a donkey to talk, he can move people at your work. And you know what's so humbling? Is that sometimes an unbeliever or non-believer at work who, they don't even know what they're saying, can say something or whatever that goes doing in your heart, and it's Jesus saying, hey, that's a little piece of truth. Are you open to that? Or do you think, oh no, that's a non-believer, they can't talk to me? Well, it's not that they're talking to you, it's Jesus is using that to talk to you. If Jesus walked along and used fig trees and sheep and all that, I mean, they didn't talk, but he used them as an everyday thing. These are things that can speak to you. Are we looking for it? Are we looking for it? And this, believe me, is the crux of this whole portion of Scripture and the crux of discipleship. So here we are, a road of doubt and unbelief, perplexion. All these things, all of us are in here. Jesus approached them in the midst of this. He made the initiative. That's what he does. And what did he do? He asked them a question. And then he asked another question. What's going on here? Why are you sad? What's been happening? And then, notice, he didn't come in and go, rah, 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 rah. You know, what are you guys walking around, you know, haven't you, you know, didn't you, here, I'm Jesus, you know, didn't you recognize me, you know, like, are you so little, you little faith, blah, blah, blah. He never said any of that. He asked the question, what's going on? What's happening in your heart? Do we give each other that room? Are we more willing to point the finger and say, I know what's behind that. I know what your intention is. I know what your motive is. I know what you're doing. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Or do we say, what's happening in your life? You seem a little bit stressed, or you seem down, or you seem something. Tell me about it. And of course, we'll only get the answer if that person trusts us. We have to build trust in each other. So he listened to their story and the doubts they had, and he listened deeper than just the words they were saying. You and I need to listen deeper than what the words are. They were so caught up in their agony that they didn't even know when Jesus approached them. You and I can be so caught up in our agony that we don't go to the Scriptures. We don't ask God to show us. We immediately get into our little rut, our little pity party, and then we get others in. We immediately call others, phone others, SMS others. You know, oh, this thing. One day I'm going to do a huge study on social media. I'm fearful that 100 years from now, we will find out the detriment that that has caused people. Nope! There's been things in my life that 40 years ago, everybody thought, nah, 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 and then it turned out to be really detrimental. But, anyway, the thing, we don't go to God as our first stop. And guess what? He's living inside of us. He's right here. He's the closest one. And we don't spend time with Him. We don't pour out our heart to Him. We don't wait on Him. We don't look into the Scripture. We don't listen to what He's saying. We just run past Him. And we want to tell everybody what's going on in our lives so we can get some, you know, and if people, like I said, if people don't support us and buoy us up with things like that you want to hear, then you don't go to them. Well, they can't help you with that. And when somebody does come, they're going to have to get several people out of the pit at once. It's going to be a job. Rescue operation. Okay. So, and we see these two weren't even prepared to believe the other disciples. See, they said the women went and they didn't see him and the men went and checked it out. They still didn't believe. They still didn't have an expectation. So if you see that God has helped somebody else, that through the same perplexity that you've gone through, do you even believe them? Or do you say, oh, mine's different. I'm worse. Things have happened worse to me. You know, all that. It's so interesting to see. You know, when I talk to people, I always know because they'll say, oh, yes, Dinah, that's true, but. It's always the but. Yes, that's right, but. Yes, you're right. You know that I agree with you. Yeah, but. And that's hard to deal with because you've got a barrier there. You don't want God in. You don't want God in. My fear is when a person gets that way, that God continues to work, but one day He says, okay, go do what you want. Go do what you want. And the fear is, as we see in Scripture, that when men and women did that, most of the time it was to their destruction. Sarah didn't want to wait to have the child that God promised. And she gave her maid, her servant lady, to her husband. Now, who in the right mind, what woman in their right mind would do that, you know? It was a different time, so we can't judge her because it was a different time. It wouldn't happen to me, but anyway. But, you see what happened. It caused distress and pain. Ishmael was born. It wasn't the promise. It caused pain in their home. But you know what? Faithful. God was faithful. And then Isaac was born. But can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, don't walk that path. Don't try to make things happen the way you want them to be. You may end up in a much worse situation than you think you're in now. And God's trying to say to us, and you know, you think God is hiding things from us? No. He loves us. He wants us to be happy, and, or I mean, excuse me, wasn't happy, but joyful and satisfied in his will. So then Jesus answered them, and he says, he came and he said, foolish ones and slow of heart. Do you think he was rude, you know? I don't think so. He probably said it in a tone of love and care. And then, because what he did was he brought the scriptures alive to them, and he didn't say, how could you not believe? Didn't you see the miracles? Didn't you see this? No, he went back to the beginning. He showed them the whole story. He said, you're part of a whole story. We need to grasp a hold of this. See, reading the Bible isn't just about getting little moral snippets or nuggets and use that to shoot each other. I was reading recently a book called Saving the Bible from Ourselves. I love it. It's a great book. But basically it says, and I think I've mentioned this before, is that back in the Reformation when they started translating and printing the Bible, that's when they first put in the verse numbers and the chapters and stuff like that. And what happened as a result of just that form was that people started pulling scriptures out of context. And we've done that ever since. Whereas the Bible itself, up until that time, which was mostly an oral tradition, was read in an entirety, like a book or a section or a story, was read in its entirety, not just beak, beak, beak. You can prove anything by that. And that's what they call proof text. And that's not the way. And I know this is kind of upside down and people do that still. But it's not the way. And that's why people can take these little verses and throw them at each other as darts. So we need to see the whole thing. So Jesus himself gives us the example. He said, okay, you're perplexed, you're upset. Let me tell you the whole story. Let me bring you into the picture. So he tells us, you're perplexed, you're in doubt, you're grappling with things. And what does he say? What might he say to us? He might say, Mary, whoever Mary is or whatever, you know, do you remember that time I came into your life? Remember when you first said, I receive you, Jesus, when you really wanted to know me? I've been pursuing you for a long time. You know, I had this person and that person praying for you. I had my desires and thoughts were for you. I saved you. I brought you into this kingdom. Not to make life difficult for you, but to make you and transform you and shape you into a beautiful woman or a beautiful man, shaped after God, formed in my image, so that you might be part of the kingdom of God that will last for eternity. That you might become the man or the woman that I want you to be. And so everything that I am allowing to come into your life is for your good. Now, Mary, you may not see this situation right now in a very good light. Maybe you think you're being shortchanged. Maybe you see everyone else getting what you want. And you're upset. And you want to run away. And all this kind of stuff. But you know what? I have a reason for that. It's because I'm working something into your life. Something that is far more wonderful and appropriate than what you want right now. And as I do that, then I'm going to bring into your life everything that I desire for you to have. And it's all for your good. Do you really believe those scriptures that says, you know, I will make everything into good, even all the bad things, I will turn into good? Do you believe that? See, this is what he wants us to see. He wants us to see a big picture, not just, I didn't get the job I wanted, or I don't have a wife, or I don't have a husband, or I don't have this, or I don't have that. He says, let's come in and let's sit down and talk about the whole picture. So that when we walk away, we say, wow, okay, I want to trust this. So when they got to the village, Jesus acted as if he was going on. He would have gone on, probably, but wanted to be invited. God wants to be invited. They urged him strongly. Do you urge Jesus to stay? Do you urge him strongly, Lord, help me? Do you urge him in prayer? Lord, I can't do this. I'm stumbling. I'm in doubt. I'm frustrated. Help me. And then he took the bread and broke it. This was not communion. It was just a meal. But it must have triggered something. And those people, those Cleopas, were not in the upper room. They were not at the Lord's Supper. So it says here, in the everyday moments of our life, eating something together, boing, a light can go off. And they saw him. As they had fellowship with Jesus, that he disclosed himself. When we invite him, when we urge him, when we say, Lord, be with me, help me. Help me understand this. He will. He will. He will open our eyes and we will see him. And when we see him like as Isaiah did, high and lifted up, our Savior, our Lord, the one who loves us, the one who has given his life for us, we are changed. And every time we see that, we're changed a little bit more and more. We are not changed all at once. We couldn't handle it. We would die. Because his glory is so unbelievable. And his revelation to us is so unbelievable. And then he vanished. Why did he vanish? Well, a lot of people have different ideas about this. Some say because he didn't want them to think that the main thing was that they see him physically all the time. That now that he was risen, he was going to be ascended, and the Holy Spirit would live. So we don't need to see Jesus physically to know that he is with us and in us. That was what the next lesson was going to be about. That was what was going to happen in their lives and all the disciples' lives. And then, of course, you know what happened. They said, "Woo! This is unbelievable. Let's get up and run." In his book, Bread for the Journey, Henry Nguyen, some of you might know him. He was a Catholic priest. He left the being like he was a teacher in one of the biggest like cathedrals and learning institutions. And after a while, he said, "I'm not living what God wants me to live." And he went and he spent the last years of his life as a carer for disabled people. In a community, people like men who couldn't talk or walk or look after themselves, and he cared for them. He wrote many books that are really beautiful. But he said this, he said, when the two disciples recognized Jesus as he broke bread for them in their house in Emmaus, he vanished from their sight. The recognition and the disappearance of Jesus are one and the same event. Why? Because the disciples recognize that their Lord Jesus Christ now lives in them. That they have become Christ bearers. Therefore, Jesus no longer sits across the table from them as the stranger, the guest, the friend with whom they can speak and from whom they can receive good counsel. He has become one with them. And he has given them his own spirit of love. Their companion on the journey has now become the companion of their souls. They are alive, yet is no longer them, but Christ living in them. Praise God, you shared that this morning. We didn't talk about what things to share. So, see, that moment, he revealed himself, and then he vanished, saying, "I live in you. I'm the closest. By my spirit, I'm within you." What was the result? Their hearts burned within them. They said, didn't our hearts burn within them, within us? Do your hearts ever burn? You sometimes get so caught up in like, or even just a little candle. It could be a consuming fire, but it could be a little candle. Your hearts burn. Well, these two fellas walking along, hearing Jesus, didn't even know who he was. If their hearts could burn, can't ours? Are you open for that? Can you pray today that your heart would burn within you when Jesus speaks to you, when you read Scripture? Pray that. Desire it. Want it. I long to have my heart stirred in Him. Every day, I pray that. I long for my heart to burn, that I know He's there. I don't want anything less as His disciple. My heart desires that. If we don't come to the Scripture and to the Lord, with our heart desiring to be opened by God, with humility toward Him, then there is nothing that man can achieve. It is only God. If we can't do that, we are impoverished. We are nominal Christians. Because we stand on the outside and look at this and say, oh yeah, I like that and I like that. But Jesus wants us to urge Him into our heart. Urge Him into our home. Urge Him into our fellowships. So, as we finish, what's this rhythm of discipleship? What's the takeaway on this? Last week I said we have the clay, the stuff. That's our everyday life, our worship life, our community life. That's everything. That should include everything. And now we have something that then Jesus, what He does, He uses that to form us. He takes the clay, this clay of our sharing together, of our life together, and He forms us. As we go to our work, He takes those relationships, even though they might be strained, He takes that clay and He forms us. So He says, I want you to be kind. I want you to be loving. I want you to be forgiving to that colleague that steps on your toes all the time. In worship, as we worship together, as you come, do you come in the morning just wanting to chat and see people and give them a hug? Or do you come saying, I really want God to speak to me. I really want my heart opened. So that even through a song that I've sung 100 million times, even through some Simon getting up and sharing some little word, he won't know who's touched by that, but God does. Through something in the sermon, through something in the ending, through an announcement. Are you open for that? Because if you're not, you won't get anything. See, and I always say, if somebody walks away and says, I don't get anything from that church, I'll say, well, open your heart. Open your eyes, open your ears. Come on. God can touch. God can open our life and do something within it. So, this is discipleship. So if I'm going to meet someone and have lunch with them or coffee with them in the church, some of the things that we can share is this stuff. And to say, you know, the other day I was in my workplace and this happened. And I'm just asking God, what does it mean? Or what can I learn from this? And the other person can say, well, you know, maybe this. And so you discuss it. You bring it before God. And you say, what is God teaching me in this? What is He opening up in my life in this? And together, it's a mutual discussion and understanding and sharing. And you both walk away from there with more understanding about life together. That's what discipleship is. Do you know Jesus this morning? Have your eyes ever been opened to who He is and what He's done for you? Do you know that He walks with you and talks with you every day? Can you testify to His presence in your life? Do you have fellowship with Him? Has your experience been with Him has been so real and so moving and so life-changing that it has caused you to tell others about Him? Because that's what they did. This experience over bread and on the road with Jesus was so changing that they ran back to tell other people. What will you do with Jesus this morning? Have you invited Jesus into your everyday life? Have you invited Him into areas of your life where things are going on that no one else knows about and that no one can fix? Only Jesus knows. And then have you recognized Him as He comes and shares His life with you, shares the Word with you? And have you celebrated that recognition? That is discipleship over and over and over and over again. And we continue on the road together. Let's pray. Father, I just desperately pray that those of us here who have not experienced that eye-opening, heart-opening moment, Lord, that You would come close and that You would walk together with each of us. And Lord, that each of us, our eyes would be opened to see You and recognize You in our everyday lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.